Welcome to the N1 podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson, not coming to you yet still from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub, but I'm here with a very special guest today. I'm here with Tracy Fries, who's the Executive Director of Upstate International, who's just been a wonderful partner to the MBA program, who offers so many wonderful services and events in the Upstate to really support our international community and help with getting everyone kind of ingrained in this international culture that we're so proud of as being a part of the Upstate, with language classes and so many great presentations to just learn. So Tracy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jamie. I am very excited to be here. You know, I'm a Clemson alum, so.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, so tell us a little bit about you, Tracy.
Well, you know, I have kind of one of those crazy backgrounds that comes from being a military child, raised in mostly Alaska as a young child, then some time in South Carolina in high school and college. And then I kind of bopped around the country a little bit, went to Malaysia for a couple of years. And all along the way, I just was fascinated by the world and by the people around me, and especially history. I love historical aspects of cultures. But I had an opportunity about 5 years ago now to start working with Upstate International. I'd had a little exposure to international events and education through a previous job with the World Affairs Council in Columbia, South Carolina. And when this opportunity came to kind of build on my global experiences in life, it was a perfect fit. You know, kind of nature intervened and put me in the right place.
That's amazing. I love your story. And I love everything that you all do at Upstate International and everything that you support. And it's so broad. Can you give us a little taste of what that looks like? So what all, if somebody wanted to become a member or get involved with Upstate International, what all could they expect to have access to?
I tell you, 5 years ago, we were focused a lot on helping international families that moved here kind of make the Upstate their home, and then also focused on really celebrating that global diversity, those cultures, right? Getting people to engage in them. And over these last 5 years, we've really just kind of blossomed into so much more. We joined World Affairs Councils of America, which is a huge network across the nation of organizations that are focused on foreign policy and global impact issues and current events. So we added that to our already great mission work. And then we also started adding a lot of internationally related educational opportunities, chances for people to kind of dive into issues and ask their own questions and learn for themselves. So there are so many ways you can participate. We have about 640 supporting members now. We have about 200 volunteers a year. We teach up to 14 languages. And the programs have a broad spectrum, right? So like for our young professionals, a lot of our MBA students are young professionals. If they love music and dance and want something to do for fun, there's Salsa at Sunset. If they want to become a diplomat and they're really focused on their career, they might want to talk to a U.S. visa officer or an ambassador or a consul general. If they want to improve their business skills, they can take global fluency training, which is cross-cultural communication. Or they might go and listen to learn how to do business in the Netherlands or Germany or Canada, or learn about Bitcoin and international trade. All of those events and activities happen every year in what we do. So we're kind of that hub, you know. If you have a global interest, we're a great place to start.
Absolutely. So obviously, we are in a strange new world right now. And I know you, like us, you know, have a lot of in-person events, in-person classes, particularly with those language classes too. Having that kind of in-person meeting is super helpful. So how have you had to adjust given the current situation with COVID-19?
It has been an adjustment because, you know, a lot of what we do is people to people. But luckily, we were able to move quickly to an online platform for our language classes. Right now, we have classes going on every day, 13 languages being taught this spring semester. So it's been an adjustment. Our intensive classes for English learners, the students and us decided that really didn't fit the online platform very well. But our other classes moved online. And then we also started a special online America and the World Flashpoints lecture series. So normally we do that once a month throughout the school year, September to March. And we had literally just finished. We were so lucky right before the COVID stay at home. But we decided to do a special series over this spring and summer. And now we're doing that once a week, free to the public. And the online platform has allowed us to reach a lot larger participation, right? Because we're not hampered by venue size. So we had Dr. Shanice Chris talking about how to communicate, kind of wonders and blunders that have happened with communication during crisis. Fascinating. And by the way, all these lectures are on YouTube. We had a talk about celebrating the 50th anniversary of Earth Day amid COVID. You know, what's happening now with the world's climate, right? And these temporary changes, what do they make us think about? We also had a lecture on the pricing of carbon footprint. So for very business-minded folks, when you look at industry and the price of affecting change, right, through climate needs. We just had that talk this past week. And coming up, one topic I think is just fascinating. An author named Michelle Gelfond, who wrote Rule Breakers and Rule Makers, is talking with us about how loose and tight cultures, different culture styles, really affect the way governments work within different countries during times of crisis. And she's going to take a look at how that plays into how South Carolina responds to crisis, right? So we're going to have that international and local focus on responding to crisis based on culture. So that's coming up. And then the following one, we are having Sahar from Israel talk with us live on human rights, liberties, and the need for public health. That's going to be fascinating too. You know, America, we really have a strong idea as what our civil liberties mean and how much we want to give those up in return for increased safety, right? So we're going to address that topic 2 weeks from now. So this lecture's open to the public. And the great thing about it is you get to ask your own questions still.
That's amazing. So interested in watching these lectures and participating, would they just go to the Upstate International website to sign up?
Yes. And a great way is if they will just send us their email and say, hey, put me on your e-news. Once a week on Fridays, we'll send out our e-blast and it'll list not only all of our ongoing international events, but we will highlight all of the international events we're aware of by other nonprofits and other organizations where they can participate. That's a great opportunity to be in the know through our National World Affairs Council affiliation. I think next week we are having what we're calling a Council by Council Amplified Week. There is a full week of globally related online events being held across the nation that people have access to. So that e-blast really kind of gets you in the know, not just with our events, but all types of internationally related programming going on.
Well, absolutely. And some of the topics that you mentioned, I mean, it's amazing to be able to have these types of conversations in real time as this is happening. And we are in crisis mode. And I also what I find interesting too is, you know, typically these would be during lunchtime, and it would be hard sometimes for people to leave their office and get over to consume this in person. But now, almost, you know, out of necessity, you are forced to move to an online platform. And there's kind of this opportunity now, because you're seeing people are hungry for this information and excited to really consume this information. You know, hundreds of registrants, which is amazing. So what are you kind of looking forward thinking, oh, wait a minute, maybe we should continue after this is all over with this new platform?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because in all we do, in the end, whether it's business related or it's language related or it's cultural fun related, it all comes back to people for Upstate International. So I do really miss that person-to-person element, but I see the benefits of being able to fit into someone's time frame and lifestyle. So for right now, in the short term, we're going to be doing our language classes online and some in person as soon as things open back up. So for those language learners who need a personal ability to see your facial expression and body language, we'll have small classes done safely for that. And for these talks, our goal is to start recording them and providing them so that people who can't make an in-person lecture will still have access to it. So that's the goal. We're having to learn all kinds of new technical skills and see where our equipment fits in, how, you know, can we work with what we have, how do we need to adjust. And if you have a young professional who loves that type of technology, you know, we would love to have you come volunteer and help set up a way for us to record these when they're live and in session and share them every time, you know, with the public.
The Clemson University MBA program is home to full and part-time corporate and entrepreneurship degree programs, a part-time business analytics program, and the new online MBA. Learn more at www.clemson.edu/MBA.
Absolutely. Well, and something I do want to mention is the language classes. They are taught by native speakers, correct?
Yes, and that's really important. There are a lot of language learning opportunities out there, and there are a lot of online language platforms. But we have a lot of people who come to us and say that it's just missing something. They come away and either they can't actually converse in the language, or they come away feeling it gets boring. they're not kind of motivated. We have some classes that start together, Jamie, and I can think of literally one of our Italian classes that have been together for years. They started as a group and they built a camaraderie and decided, and they kind of push each other to continue their level to the point where, like, you know, sometimes you're like, man, yeah, I'm not sure you need a class anymore. And they're like, oh yeah, we do, because teachers bring so much of their own culture to the class. You know, most of our classes, there's always, whether it's the German class is bringing in a German dish, or the French class is having a party at the end, or the Chinese class, or the Russian, we have Croatian right now for the first time. We've had Thai and Russian, Japanese. There's something to be said for that actual taste of culture that comes with having a teacher who's passionate about sharing where they come from and helping you learn along the way.
Yeah, and it's fun. Well, it's another opportunity that, again, you probably never considered, but we're thrown into it, where I think about our working professionals in the MBA program, and to add another element to something on their plate is just so hard between work and school and family. But, you know, if they want to learn a language, which many of them do because they're doing business internationally, how how much easier and for the ability to consume this now through a platform like a Zoom or a WebEx online, kind of on their own time, or at least in the evenings, they can be at home with their families and not have to rush out to another place. So again, I'm seeing this as something that could potentially be an opportunity for some young professionals going forward too.
Mm-hmm. And we do offer classes also in the evenings at different times of day during lunch hours. We try to be flexible. And frankly, if you don't see what you're looking for on our schedule, reach out to us, because there may be another student just like you who's looking for the same avenue to learn. And so we try to accommodate that as often as we can.
That's amazing. I might have to sign up and learn Italian after.
We are very different too in the way we teach. This is not a you get tested into the class, you get tested out of the class. It is not that kind of pressure. We have found that we can have very good success without making you feel like you're taking another MBA class. So we want to have it be an enjoyable learning experience so that people really, you know, fall in love with the new language and want to continue.
Absolutely. And you know, I know you're so passionate about, you know, supporting international families, kind of growing global awareness. And again, so many amazing events and opportunities that you guys offer at Upstate International. So what makes you most proud about what you do every day?
I think when I look at people who are still involved with us, literally, since we began over 21 years ago, that people love it enough that they tell us they have made their best friends through Upstate International, and they come back year after year. We did a video about, I think, 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago, called The Heart of UI, and we were very fortunate to have three of our founding members talk on that video. And one of them, Yuji Kishimoto, said, you know, I think the essence of relationships is trust, and how he felt like Upstate International brought this friendship and trust, kind of building a cohesive community, right? Because we're there to help internationals feel at home in our region, and we want to support them with our international women's group and our cultural activities, but also helping our non-international residents come in and experience something new, and bringing those two elements together in a way that is binding, and in a way that helps us globally. You know, we all talk about how global our region is, Jamie, and it is. So much of our economic bottom line is affected by internationally owned businesses in this area. But really, the global cultures that reside here and our people who embrace them have made this a unique part of the South, a unique part of this region. And the opportunities are boundless. We have people who move down from the North all the time who are like, I couldn't believe there was all this culture here and all of these events and all of these ways to connect. I was afraid I'd come down here and you know, be out of place.
Guilty as charged too.
Yes. And instead they find a great place to live and work and be. So I think I'm most proud of that longevity. When I look at the amount of community impact we've been able to have over 21 years and that we're still growing, that tells me we're on the right track.
Absolutely. And a lot of it goes back to building community and continuing to find ways to build community, even in the current circumstances that we're in, which I think is so interesting. So let's talk about the current circumstances that we're in, because obviously, a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people, are going through a lot of things that they were unprepared for. And it's been a really, really interesting time. But as you know me, I try to err on the side of positivity, and there've been opportunities through through this situation as well. But I just want to focus on what joy you found in the current circumstances that we're in, because I always like to think about, you know, the glass definitely half full. So what has brought you joy during this time, even though it is such a trying time?
You know, personally, I love not feeling like I'm rushing my life away quite so much. Mm-hmm. The center is a great place to work, and we have a 1940s building that's very homey feeling, and I love it, but not having the need to drive every day and, you know, rush transporting kids, and it has allowed us more opportunity to slow down. And even though there are parts of it that are scary, you know, with a nonprofit and you're looking at support based on people believing in what you do, that can be scary. But on the other hand, we've had so much opportunity to breathe and to reach out to those people who have supported us. And say, you know, we have these resources. How can we help you back? You know, do you need people who can speak other languages to help those internationals who maybe need care? How can we help back? And the other part is definitely, you know, more time to step outside and think about the impact that we're having in the world and enjoying the spring weather. You know, that's awesome. There's nothing quite like being able to walk out of your office for a few minutes to your back deck and take a breath of fresh air and enjoy spring around you. It definitely makes most people I know think about the fact that the rushing around needs to slow down for good, at least a little bit, right?
Absolutely, and I love the lessons learned that have been coming out of this, which is why I asked that question, because I feel like so many people have had to adapt and change their normal lifestyles, and one of those things is slowing down. So what do you think the outlook is? Do you think we can maintain this once it's all over?
No. Not completely. No, not completely, because so many people are impacted so hard financially that I know that we have to get back to a certain level of normalcy, right? But I do think for a lot of families like ours, you get over kind of this, at first it's really hard. I mean, you're looking at all your laundry and your dishes and how am I going to adjust my organization with management need. And then you're like taking that breath and looking at the positives. So no, I don't think we can sustain it all, but I really hope we learn some lessons, especially for our planet. I'm a tree hugger, gotta say. I hope we learn some lessons on working harder to help with air quality and some of the improvements certain countries are seeing. I really hope we can do that. One of the neat things about the programming we've been doing right now is talking about all these different issues of impact amid this crisis and hearing from experts who are far more knowledgeable than I, like Brent Nelson, when we were talking about the global economic impact. So that's a real benefit. I'm learning something every day, honestly, from this crisis. I hope other people are too, but I do know that personally I do not help enough. It's one thing that makes me realize with people's situations, I'm not sure that any of us can help enough right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a good redirection for myself, for our organization. I hope we're doing it right. I hope we're really going to make great use of this opportunity to, you know, to move into a new technology age and make things easier for everyone who wants to participate with us through the use of technology and everything. But most of all, you know, I'm really grateful for these big-hearted people who are ready to discover the world.
Absolutely, and the fact that you're making it a little bit more accessible with these online platforms is just a huge piece of that, going back to the community of it all. So kudos to you and what you're doing with Upstand International and kind of leading the organization through such a trying time, like you said, but really making such a difference in people's lives. Because when you go back to learning something new every day with the presentations and information that you all are hosting and putting out, it gives people such a great opportunity to learn and grow through this crisis. So kudos to you guys. And I'm just so thankful that you took the time to join me. Again, if anyone out there to our listeners is interested, please go to the Upstand International website and sign up for their e-blast. Tons of information, lots of great events and opportunities to learn, and just such support for our community. So I'm so proud as the Clemson MBA program to be such great partners with you and watch the great work that you're doing in the community. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Jamie. And please, also for your listeners, make sure they know that we really welcome their participation. And we definitely can use volunteers. If you have anyone out there who loves websites, right now we're looking to update our website. It's 4 years old. It's getting a little dated. We appreciate fresh eyes on what we do. So any of them who want to give us some feedback and also let us know how we can help them connect, that'd be fabulous.
Amazing. Thank you, Tracy, so much. And to our listeners out there, take care, stay well, have a magical day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.